brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As you notice, we keep hearing about the Good Shepherd because the church wants us to understand that God is our shepherd. If we're willing to be shepherded, we'll be led to the living water. We'll be led to the food that will last forever. We'll be led to green pastures. We'll be led to places of rest and security. We'll be able to grow and thrive. That's part of what a good shepherd does and what God wants to do for us. You don't make yourself perfect and then present yourself to God. You come, maybe even a baby still, but you come to the good shepherd and you draw close to him and you stay near him and you listen to his voice and you heed his direction because you learn that he takes care of you. He protects you from the enemy. He feeds you. He sustains you. He gives you green pasture. God is doing that for us all the time. And how easy it is for us to think, you know, it's my doing, or it's my friend's doing, or it's the world's doing. But very, very rarely do we say, glory be to God for this provision. Glory be to you, Lord, for your mercy. Learn how to do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you attentive, to make you able to discern his voice, his call. He'll teach you step by step. Don't go ahead of him. Just learn from him as he presents things to you. Oh, grant, we pray, Almighty God, that celebrating the mysteries of the Lord's resurrection, we may merit to receive the joy of our redemption. Remember, this is still the Easter season. Open your heart. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 19 to 26. Those who had been scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen, when Stephen was stoned to death, there was a great persecution that erupted, and the Christians had some hard time of it. And it says that arose because of Stephen went as far as Phoenicia. They're scattered as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and preaching the word to no one but Jews. There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. So the word is beginning to spread. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart, for he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. When he goes to Antioch and he sees the grace of God at work, he sees peace, he sees harmony, he sees joy, he sees people asking good questions, all that kind of thing. He rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. There's a little commentary in Magnificat that speaks about that verse and says, Acts says that Barnabas was sent to Antioch and that when he arrived, he saw the grace of God. What exactly did he see? And they go on to describe it, the unity of the believers, disciples who remained faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. They lived out what Jesus promised. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. The way we know that the Father and I are one is by the experience of sharing in that oneness. When we see ourselves bound together with a group of people and we find ourselves growing in oneness of heart, who do you think is in the center of that? Human beings can only do so much before we disintegrate into warfare. But when God calls us together, and God is calling all his Christian people together, we have to decide what the real issues are. Put aside some others. We need to follow him. And the people who meet us and see us, we should be known for our joy, our wisdom, our courage, our unity. Is that how people would define the group of people you associate with? What can you do? Pray, first of all. Pray, pray. Don't launch into some great program. Pray. Ask God to show you. Often he works small, silent ways at first. Trust him. Be an apostle of unity. Psalm 87, all you nations, praise the Lord. That's what we want. We want all the nations of the world to praise the Lord, all the nations of the world to come to him, all of them. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30, the feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." See, they're standing off. They don't commit themselves to anything. They're trying to argue and defeat his arguments so that they can prove that Jesus is an imposter, or whatever, however they termed him. But Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand." Do you know that about yourself? Do you believe that about yourself? "My sheep hear my voice." Have you learned to know his voice yet? You will. If you haven't, you will. But seek him. "I know them, and they follow me." Do you follow Jesus? "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." So we are safe, brothers and sisters. We are safe in the hands of God. We really are safe. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Do we know that? Do we live out of it? Or is it always, always guesswork? "Oh, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if God cares about me. I don't know this. I don't know that." Is that where we are? Is that the position we're in? There's a way that the Lord so wants to give himself to us, and so wants to love us, and so wants to care for us. But he can't force us. He won't force us. To force us is not love to anything. To force us is not love. And so, what is it that God needs to do for you to believe him? That he loves you. That he wants to give you eternal life. That he wants you to draw close to him. I remember one time being in a, it wasn't a sheep pen, they were loose, they were in the field. And, I really liked them, you know, and I just kind of watched them, watch how they acted, watch what they did. And at one point, I called a couple of them that were closer to the fence. And I just, you know, just, come here, sheepies. I don't even remember quite how I said it. But they didn't come right away. They looked at me and they kind of cocked their heads and looked at me. And the shepherd, the woman who was their shepherdess, was behind them over to one side. They all turned to look at her. Because that was the voice they trusted. They weren't sure about me. I think I looked okay, but they weren't sure about me. The sheep knew the voice of their master or their mistress, their shepherdess. They knew it, and they turned to her for guidance. Now, you and I have the Good Shepherd for our shepherd. Do we turn to him when we hear other voices? Do we turn to him and say, "Who should I trust here? Should I follow this? Should I pay attention here? Should I ignore? Should I distance myself? What should I do?" Ask God. ask God for help because he will give it. You just have, you know, it isn't words, as I've said so many times, it isn't words that come down from heaven, but there's a sense inside you, there's a peace or an assurance. Or if you're tending to go off track, there's something in you that says, And if you listen to it, you're going to be in a much better place. Many times we ignore the inspirations inside us to our detriment. But listen, he's there. It's a quiet voice, but it's a real voice. And I remember those sheep, those lambs, as the woman who was the shepherdess drew closer to them. Their little tails were going, and they felt secure there, and they just weren't too sure about me. So she came up to me and talked to me, and we talked through the fence and just chatted for a while, and all the sheep were looking and watching. And after that, it still wasn't the same as it was with the shepherd, but they had a certain trust, could we say, in me, because they had seen the kind of conversation, seen, not heard, but they had seen the conversation. They can pick up where there is disruption. They can pick up where there's animosity. Even sheep, even dumb sheep can do that. And sometimes we're dumber than the dumb sheep. We don't turn to him. We listen to all the voices. We decide which ones are most curious or which ones entice us to something or, in other words, get us into trouble. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. I know mine, and mine know me. Do we know him? Do we really know him? And that, brothers and sisters, is what takes time. We need to give God time. I mentioned last week that I had some things I wanted to say to you on forgiveness, but I don't have that much time in this program to do that. So sometime this week, I'm going to be talking more about forgiveness because I think it's one of those sins that can deafen us to the voice of God or dull us to the inspirations from the Holy Spirit. Unforgiveness hardens. It hardens us. Even if we think it doesn't, it does. And what it does is make the grace of God much harder to reach us because we're steel-plated or we're deaf. We have plugged our ears. That's what happens with unforgiveness. So I want you to listen to the programs coming up because I do want to address this issue a little more. I know I addressed it a week or so ago, but briefly, and there's more that I want to say because the more I pray for you and the more I think about these programs, the more I ponder the stumbling block that unforgiveness is. Even though we might feel justified, even though a terrible thing has happened to us, it can still block the action of God. And I don't want anything blocking the action of God in your life. So stay tuned and may God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.